Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, August 26, 2022, Section A. Johnson and Leaders Debate Proposed Budget by Stuart Doreen. A proposed raise of 28% for jailers and 22% for patrolmen and other law enforcement officials in the sheriff's office has created division within the county ranks. The Midland County Commissioner's Court is receiving comments this week from department heads and elected officials about County Judge Terry Johnson's proposed budget, once he admitted to showing preferential treatment to certain sheriff's office personnel. The budget calls for double-digit percentage increases in individual salaries from jailers to patrolmen to courthouse security to civil and warrants criminal investigation division. The rank and file of the county's civilian workforce are set to receive stipends of 3, 4, or 5%, depending on how much money they currently make. 3% for those making $100,000 or more, 4% for those between $50,000 and $100,000, and 5% for those making less than $50,000. Mitzi Baker, county treasurer, responded to the Reporter-Telegram questions about the proposed budget, saying there was no cost of living increase for civilian employees and no permanent raise. And while law enforcement inside the sheriff's department were set to receive 20-plus percent raises, part of Johnson's $2.5 million increase in the sheriff's budget, that payment push wouldn't apply for those in warrant services, emergency management, and juvenile detention. In my 33 years, I've not seen anything exactly like this, not this kind of an increase, Baker said. Johnson said during court proceedings, available online, that he is attempting to help the sheriff's office and the vacancies in the jail, said to be around 35 to 40, and among patrolmen. Johnson said the pay for those two areas in particular have the department missing out on candidates, even those who the county paid to go through law enforcement academies to other area agencies like Greenwood. This sheriff's office is not alone in being shorthanded. Midland Police Department Chief Seth Herman recently told the Reporter-Telegram his police force isn't close to where it needs to be. Johnson said he'd like to see wages of those working patrol and inside the jail closer to wages paid inside the police department. This week, other department heads, including those in the district attorney's office, county clerk's office, the district clerk's office, justice of the peace, and juvenile detention, mentioned the budget's preference. Justice of the peace John Barton said you can't forget other individuals doing their job. Midland County Clerk Allison Haley mentioned Midland being home to some of the highest inflation rates in the nation. Many of her deputies make the bare minimum pay grade inside the county and make less than the county's event coordinator, and that even the county mentioned on its website a perk of working for the county was regular cost of living raises for employees, to which Johnson responded to an official, "Can you get that off the website?" District Clerk Alex Eschleda mentioned that he had employees held at a higher standard than secretarial science people and couldn't even recruit paralegals because of the low pay offered. "I'm not understanding the stipend dynamic," Eschleda said. Chief Juvenile Probation Officer Forrest Hanna expressed his concern that officials working at the Barbara Culver Juvenile Center wouldn't get the proposed pay raise, and they would then apply for positions at the sheriff's office. Johnson told him the county could put into place restrictions on employees making such a move, and then told him he had only 4 openings compared to the 40 at the jail. District Attorney Laura Nodoff said the discrepancy was an issue of fairness, to which Johnson responded, "Are you saying I'm not fair?" Johnson reminded those coming before the court his priorities in some other areas. He also told those in the commissioner's courtroom inside the Midland County Courthouse that when you get more money this year than last year, it is a raise. He also offered the following during an exchange with a department head. "I'm surprised how much jealousy there is in what other people make. I can't make everybody equal. It is not my job to make everybody equal." Other members of the commissioner's court stayed out of the debates about fairness, 20-plus percent salary increases, and smaller stipends for other employees. They're expected to weigh in later in the process, possibly as early as at 1:30 on Friday, when discussions about Johnson's proposed budget continue. The proceedings Friday also will include Midland County Sheriff's David Kreiner having the opportunity to comment on the budget that Johnson prepared. Air Park to take center stage this weekend, by Stuart Doreen. A celebration of aviation and community is planned for Saturday at Air Park. The Executive Airport along Loop 250 in North Midland will host a 5K run at 8 a.m., followed by the Fly Into Fall, which officials hope can better help connect the Midland community with its executive airport. Aviation and aerospace will be front and center from 9 to 2 at Air Park, as officials will welcome Midlanders and those from around the region. At-large Councilwoman Robin Poole said the festivities will include exhibits from Space Park, Tenant AST and Science, a Velocity Rocket airframe, a commemorative Air Force fly-in, classic cars, face painting, food trucks, and jumpers. Grand Marshals are Congressman August Pfluger, who served in the Air Force as decorated fire pilot and commander, and continues to serve as a colonel in the Air Force Reserves, and State Board of Education member-elect Aaron Kinsey, a former captain in the Air Force. Another hero at the event will be former NASA astronaut Don Thomas. He'll take part in a question and answer. It will be a really fun day where we are able to bring the community of Air Park together with the general community, Poole said. We can introduce families to aviation on a new level. The events will also include the opportunities for residents young and old to take discovery flights, courtesy of Floris Flight Service. Other interactive displays include flight simulators, pre-flight simulation complete with pre-flight inspection and mock cockpit experience, and a drone obstacle course. The event has grown into something bigger than I thought it could be, Poole said. We want to introduce kids to aviation as a career path. Poole commented that interest in aviation has waned and that aviation and aerospace companies are experiencing shortages. Even this week, Midland College came up with a plan to bring back an aviation maintenance program to help deal with shortages there. This is a first step to showcase Air Park as the gem that it is to the community. Oxy and subsidiary update plans on direct air capture plant in Ector County. By Melanie McEwen. Occidental Petroleum and its subsidiary 1.5 announced plans Thursday to begin detailed engineering and early site construction on their first large-scale direct air capture plant in Ector County near Occidental's acreage and infrastructure. Oxy Low Carbon Ventures announced the plant, part of a joint venture with Racine Capital Management in August of 2020. The joint venture said at the time the plant could be the first of up to 70 deployed worldwide by 2035, included a number of other plants throughout the Permian Basin. Once operational, the plant is expected to capture up to 500,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year, with the capability to scale up to 1 million metric tons per year. The first stage of construction, which includes site preparation and roadwork, is scheduled to begin in the third quarter of 2022, and start up the plant is expected in late 2024. Upon completion, the first DAC plant will be the world's largest of its kind. The project is expected to employ more than 1,000 people during the construction phase and up to 75 once operational. The Inflation Reduction Act's increased incentives will further accelerate DAC deployment as a solution to help achieve net zero. The decision to proceed with construction follows the successful completion of a front-end engineering and design study and extensive feeding, testing, and validation at the Carbon Engineering Innovation Center. 1.5 partnered with Carbon Engineering, a climate solutions company, to commercialize and deploy DAC technology at scale. 1.5 has also agreed on substantive terms with Worley for engineering, procurement, and construction services, and expects to work toward a definitive agreement for the EPC contract by the end of the year, 1.5 and carbon engineering continue to progress innovation work streams to improve the DAC technology at the Innovation Center. Oxy also entered into an agreement with Origis Energy to provide zero-emission solar power for the DAC plant and other projects in the Permian Basin. The construction of Oxy's first DAC plant is an important milestone on the pathway to achieving our net zero ambitions and helping the world meet the Paris Agreement's climate goals, said Vicki Holub, President and Chief CEO of Oxy. We are fortunate to partner with Carbon Engineering and Worley, who share our vision in creating a carbon removal industry that can accelerate the path to net zero. Construction of this transformative facility begins our journey toward providing commercial-scale DAC solutions that can reduce and remove carbon emissions, said Richard Jackson, president of Oxy Operations. This plant's development is rooted in our carbon management expertise, strong record of delivering major projects and existing infrastructure that supports the commercialization of carbon capture, utilization, and storage technologies. This plant could also anchor future low-carbon projects and strengthen our portfolio of carbon management solutions. Captured carbon dioxide can be safely sequestered deep underground in saline formations or used in the production of hydrocarbons to enable lower carbon or net zero transportation fuels and in products like chemicals and building materials. In advance of the plant's construction, 1.5 has made product sales, including carbon removal credit purchases from Airbus, Shopify, and Thermo Fisher. And Oxy reached an off-take agreement with SK Trading International for an opportunity to purchase net zero oil.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, August 26th, 2022. Pfluger hears thousands at town halls. Backing energy industry, bolstering economy, keys to security, he says. Holding 52 town hall meetings throughout the vast 11th Congressional District and fighting for his American Energy Freedom Act as a minority member of the U.S. House of Representatives have impressed Congressman August Pfluger with the urgency of his responsibilities. The San Angelo Republican says the theme of the town halls is frustration, and his principal answer has been that he is doing all he can to give the energy industry the support it needs. Quote, the people are frustrated with the federal government, the administration, the economy, the lack of transparency, the politics and the laws that are being passed, end quote, Pfluger said last Thursday from San Angelo, where he was home for his daughter's first days of school. Quote, they don't feel like the country is going the right way. They're hurting in their pocketbooks and are finding it hard to put food on the table. There's a resounding level of frustration because of the economic disaster President Biden has put us into, with inflation costing an American family $6,000 to $7,000 more a year for things like food, gasoline, and utilities. They are feeling the pain, and I'm telling them first and foremost, I'm hearing you loud and clear, end quote. Pfluger said Congress's most effective response would be to pass legislation like the American Energy Freedom Act and his House Resolution Number 218, which would prohibit Biden from putting a moratorium on oil and gas drilling. Quote, I ask at every town hall if the president is making our nation more secure and prosperous, because I don't see two more important roles, end quote, he said. Quote, we should make the energy industry as potent and strong as possible because it underpins the rest of our economy, end quote. Pfluger is forcefully challenging the Environmental Protection Agency's plan to declare parts of the Permian Basin, quote, non-attainment areas, end quote, and halt oil and gas production. Quote, I have been sending letters saying, explain your actions, end quote, he said. Quote, America is facing threats from around the world that are the most complex and alarming in our history. Cyber threats, the Ukraine-Russian war, the threat of China invading Taiwan, the drug trafficking cartels, and Afghanistan being free again to grow terrorists. We're facing threats so complex that we have to be as strong as we can be, and our most important weapon is our economy, end quote. Now being considered in the House Committee on Energy and Commerce in Washington, D.C., the American Energy Freedom Act is co-sponsored by Republican Representatives Stephanie Bice of Oklahoma, Mary Miller of Illinois, Madison Cawthorn and Ted Budd of North Carolina, Clay Higgins of Louisiana, Byron Donalds of Florida, Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee, and Matthew Rosendale Sr. of Montana. The resolution would prohibit the president from unilaterally enacting leasing bans on federal lands, eliminate the presidential permit requirement for cross-border energy projects on federal lands and waters, mandate the onshore and offshore oil, gas, wind, solar, and geothermal lease sales that have been blocked since January 2021, reduce foreign dependence for critical minerals by expanding access and streamlining permitting, require the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the U.S. Department of Energy to review permits to export liquefied natural gas within 60 days and prohibit the rejection of a natural gas pipeline if the project meets safety regulations, among other features. House Democrats hold a 222-213 advantage, but Pfluger is confident that the Republicans will regain the majority in the November 8th election. With hundreds of people attending many of his meetings and as many as 5,000 dialing in for his telephone town halls, the former Air Force fighter pilot said his weekly, quote, Pfluger flyby, end quote, email bulletins have 30,000 subscribers. Having scheduled a town hall at 10:30 a.m. August 30th at the M. Bevan Eckert Memorial Library in Mason, Pfluger since March last year has held town halls in Midland, Andrews, Stanton, Lamesa, Bront, Robert Lee, Coleman, Goldthwaite, San Angelo, Colorado City, Brady, Maynard, Junction, Eastland, Breckenridge, Stephenville, and Mineral Wells. Also, Ballinger, Eden, Odessa, Mason, Granbury, Brownwood, Llano, Menard again, Junction, Iron County, Odessa again, Lampasas, Killeen, Eden again, Goldthwaite again, San Saba, and Brady again. Also, Midland again, Garden City, Coke County, Sterling City, Early, Ballinger again, Granbury again, Clyde, Comanche, Coleman again, Lamesa again, Stanton again, Colorado City again, Odessa again, Andrews again, and Stephenville again. OC dealerships celebrate Ford asset signing. Much like signing with an athletic team, 19 new Odessa College automotive technology students signed letters of commitment to the elite two-year specialized training Ford asset program. ASSET stands for Automotive Student Service Educational Training. The program is aimed at filling the vast need for automotive technicians throughout the area using homegrown talent and helping those students embark on a sustainable career where they can earn good money. The event was held at the Sewell Auto Tech Building Thursday. The students were joined by representatives from their sponsor dealerships. Odessa College Vice President for Instruction, Tremaine Anderson, thanked Colin Sewell and the Sewell family of dealerships for partnering with Odessa College throughout the decades. She noted that they donated the space that the signing ceremony was held in. Director of Automotive and Diesel Technology, Robert Turner, said the students apply to OC, or the dealers themselves refer students. Students are paid during the internship. Quote, the students basically alternate between 8 weeks here and 8 weeks at the dealership. Those that are local get to work part-time while they are in school, end quote, Turner said. They earn an associate's degree after 2 years. They also get 100% of the Ford training. Quote, with the addition later on this year with the battery electric vehicles, they also will be certified in electric vehicles. The cool thing about this program is that while they're working, they get 2 years credit for the 5 years that they need to get senior master certified. These students graduate, spend 3 more years in the field, and end up senior master certified by Ford, which normally takes about 10 to 15 years without the schooling, end quote, Turner said. On Thursday, he said, students signed a promissory note basically stating that they are going to represent the dealerships that are sponsoring them, NOC. Zachary Williams, Assistant Director of Automotive and Diesel Technology at OC, said this is a true career path that can set the students up for success for the rest of their lives. Quote, we genuinely do appreciate you, as well as the dealers that are here to sponsor these students. The work here is not done. Odessa College's work isn't complete until every dealer in our service area is here. There's a need for technicians, and Odessa College is taking steps to meet that need. We're not only taking singular steps, but we're taking multiple steps in every direction that we can, end quote, Zachary Williams said. Quote, the technician deficit in this country is very strong, and every dealer in every service industry is needing technicians. You all will be the future technicians of tomorrow, and you will be the next technicians to train the entry-level technicians, end quote, Zachary Williams added. OC President Gregory Williams said the students have opportunities waiting for them once they finish acquiring their skills. Quote, there are employers and dealerships who are waiting for your services. They can't wait to bring you into their teams because they need you and will make, in short order, many of you, if you do this within 5 to 10 years of being at those dealerships, you will make a six-figure income. End quote, Gregory Williams said. He added that they will have steady employment and they can go to any 4 dealerships. Zachary Williams said this group of students is, quote, headstrong and ready to go, end quote. Quote, most of these students joined at a very short period of time. They are dedicated to the process. Some of them were transferred from our traditional side, as well as being hired onto the asset program. I think these kids are set up for success, end quote, he added. Zachary Williams noted that it takes a lot of hard work and dedication to get through the program. Quote, the lucrative career opportunities here not only stop at base pay with technicians, but an automotive or diesel technician is one of the few jobs in where more work equals more money. It's hard to say for some careers. Sometimes you put in more work and get less money. Sometimes you put in less work and get more money. But in the automotive technology, diesel technology fields, we get paid per job. So we get as much money as we can make, and it is a very life-changing opportunity. And it can be a way to escape any sort of generational suffrage of poverty, as well as to advance their lives to a level that they once may never have thought of, end quote, Zachary Williams said. He added that he wanted to thank the OC staff, dealerships, and students. 18-year-old Luis Ordaz, Aaron Thiesfeld, 19, and Joseph Coleman, 17, were all thrilled with the chance to be part of the Ford Asset Program. None of them ever thought they would get a chance like this. Quote, I dreamed of an opportunity like this. I really thought it was going to stay a dream, end quote, Ordaz said. Quote, but now it's coming to life, end quote. He said he got into fixing vehicles when he had trouble with his truck. Asked what he would tell people who were thinking about trying the program, Ordaz said they should go for it. Quote, I heard about it. I wasn't quite sure, but I did it anyway because I thought it would be good for me, and I'm glad I did it, end quote, he said. Thiesfeld said he decided to try the program because he loves cars and he wanted to work on them since he saw the first Fast and Furious movies. Quote, they always make it look so easy fixing up cars in movies. But Paul Walker was a big inspiration of mine, and he actually worked and fixed up cars. So that's something I want to do, end quote, Thiesfeld said. Coleman said this is an incredible opportunity, and he plans to stick with it. Quote, when I was growing up, I didn't really care for cars that much until my grandpa started talking to me. He, my dad, and my uncle all made me start liking cars. They were just sitting there working on them, and it became an interest which turned into a passion, end quote, Coleman said. He added that he thought he would, quote, have to work my rear end off just to get close to something like this, end quote. Quote, this was just handed to me, and it's not easy. It's not just a cakewalk, but it's an incredible opportunity that was presented to me, end quote, Coleman said. Computer glitch leads to boil water notice. A glitch in a computer system responsible for evaluating water levels and water pressure has resulted in a boil water notice for 20,000 to 25,000 North Odessans that was expected to last until about midnight Thursday. Odessa Public Works Director Tom Kerr said that a system called Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition is responsible for measuring various data points at the city's elevated tanks and pump stations and transmitting the information back to the city's main water plant on 42nd Street. On Wednesday night, increased usage caused water levels to drop. But because of the glitch, operators were unaware of it and did not increase the pumpage to address the routine drop, Kerr said. Quote, complaint calls told us something was amiss, so we began to evaluate the system, end quote, Kerr said. The calls began around 9 p.m., and the issue was rectified by 10 p.m. But because the water pressure had dropped below 20 pound force per square inch, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality required the city to impose a boil water notice, he said. As required, city employees began testing the water for harmful bacteria Thursday morning, and if no harmful bacteria are detected, Kerr said he expects the boil water notice to be lifted around 9 a.m. today. It's unclear why the SCADA system failed, he said. Quote, we're still diagnosing some of the issues, end quote, Kerr said. Quote, there are quite a few different types of issues that could be involved, end quote. On a positive note, however, the system will be updated as part of the upgrades being made to the city's water treatment plant, Kerr said. The Odessa City Council voted in August 2021 to issue $95 million in certificates of obligation to fund the project. This is the second large-scale boil water notice to be issued since June. On June 13th, a 24-inch water line that was more than 60 years old broke on 42nd and San Jacinto streets. Because of a faulty valve, city workers were unable to shut off the line near the break and instead had to shut off water for the entire city for more than 48 hours. Ector County residents had to boil their water until June 18th, while repairs were made and tests were run to ensure the water was safe to drink. Many businesses, especially restaurants, were forced to close their doors in the meantime. The break cost the city of Odessa nearly $607,000, with the vast majority of the expense going toward equipment costs. No arrests yet in OHS stabbing. Following the stabbing of a student at Odessa High School Wednesday, little information is available. A news release Wednesday detailed that two boys agreed to a fight near the end of the school day. The student who was stabbed was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other is being sought. Other students and staff members at the school were not threatened. Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said via email he did not have an update on the student who was stabbed. Legally, he said, the district cannot give out health information about a student unless the family gives them permission. Adkins wrote that the police investigation is still ongoing and what happens next will be determined by the outcome of the investigation. No arrests have been made, he said. School district officials cannot talk about specific disciplinary action taken against an individual student. The student will not be back at school, Adkins wrote. Asked how this could happen when protocols have been put in place after the school shooting in Uvalde, Adkins said, quote, unfortunately, when children agree to fight, they do it away from the adults on campus. The only way to stop it is to know about it ahead of time. And sometimes we do receive tips that help prevent fights. The school's police officers and staff members responded to the fight very quickly and followed all guidelines in place to ensure safety of students and staff in time after it took place, end quote. In the news release issued Wednesday evening, ECISD said school leaders want to assure parents this behavior is unacceptable, and they will take extra precautions as classes resumed Thursday. Students are urged to alert an adult on campus if they see or hear anything out of the ordinary or trouble between students, the release said. The safety of students and staff members is top priority at Odessa High School and in all ECISD schools. Police lauded OHS staff members for following response protocols that helped ensure dismissal was orderly and safe as school ended and classes released for the day, the release stated. Local news roundup. Two arrested following golf dispute. Two men were arrested Tuesday after being accused of assaulting another man because he was playing golf on the wrong part of the course. Odessa police were summoned to Ratliff Ranch Golf Course on North Grandview Avenue around 11 a.m. Tuesday about an assault victim. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman told officers Brian Phelan Brady, 60, and Frederick Platt, 68, notified her that a man was playing on the wrong part of the course, and she escorted the man to the correct hole. She said both men followed them, and she saw Brady pull the man out of his golf cart and both men fighting on the ground. She also said she saw Platt grab a golf club and approach the two men fighting. Although she said she saw the man being hit with a club, she wasn't sure who used it on him. The alleged 30-year-old victim gave a similar story, saying he was punched in the face while still in the golf cart and then pulled out of the cart. According to the report, he also said he was held in a headlock while one of the men hit him in the arm with a golf club. An officer noted the man had injuries to his bottom lip, right eyelid, and left forearm. Brady and Platt were each arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a class 2 felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Both men were released from the Ector County Jail Wednesday after they each posted a $30,000 surety bond. Thief takes car with Odessa girl inside. A small child is safe despite being inside a vehicle that was stolen early Thursday morning. According to the Odessa Police Department, a man told officers that he'd left his vehicle running and his daughter inside it at the Chevron at 1601 South Grant Avenue when a man got into it and left around 7 a.m. The little girl and the vehicle were located soon after, but the suspect remains at large. The man was wearing a dark-colored shirt, jeans, and black shoes with white soles. Anyone with information in the incident is asked to call Detective Cordero at 432-438-8894. Its case number 22-0013266. What's going on? Bougie Boo Bingo. Roosters, 615 North Sam Houston Avenue, has scheduled Bougie Boo Bingo from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. today. To play is $10 with 5 games of fun. All prizes will be Halloween decorations and more. There will be Halloween-themed cocktails and mocktails. Back-to-school free concert. MC Student Activities Department will present the 50th anniversary concert featuring Latin artist AJ Castillo live in person at 7 p.m. today at the Algie Langford Chaparral Center on the Midland College campus. Doors open at 6 p.m. Opening performance provided by Midlander and award-winning teen Tejano star Tristan Ramos. The entire community is invited. Tickets are not required. However, there is limited seating. Complimentary access wristbands will be available at the doors. Attendees may purchase items from some of Midland's most popular food trucks located in Chap Center parking lot at door number 1. No outside food or drinks permitted. For more information, visit at www.midland.edu/AJ-Castillo. Robert Earl Keane Concert. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present Robert Earl Keane World Tour of Texas with special guest Reckless Kelly at 8 p.m. today. Doors open at 7 p.m. Visit wagnernoel.com. Movies Under the Stars. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Movies Under the Stars, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, interactive screening for ages 18 and older, at dusk, around 8:45 p.m., today at the museum's garden. Refreshments and some seating provided. Feel free to bring your own chair. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. New Christian Music Fest to take place in Midland. Midland. For years, fans of Christian music in the Permian Basin had their annual Rock the Desert event to look forward to. That event, which used to take place in the summer in Midland, reached a hiatus after the 2019 show and has never returned to the stage. Now, a new Christian music festival, held in conjunction with the Midland County Fair, called Hope Fest, looks to fill that empty void left by the absence of Rock the Desert. Hope Fest, which is put on by Thriving United, takes place at 4 p.m. Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena and will run alongside the Midland County Fair. The goal is to provide a family-oriented Christian music festival for everyone in the Permian Basin, especially for those who are struggling or knows someone who is. Quote, we bill it as the biggest Christian music fest in our region since Rock the Desert, end quote, event coordinator John James said. The event will include performances from Christian music groups such as Unspoken, Ty Johnson and the Transform Band, Britt Nicole and Brooke Robertson. Unspoken has performed in the Permian Basin at Rock the Desert numerous times. Quote, Unspoken has been charted on the Christian Billboard music charts many times, end quote, James said. Quote, they've been to Midland and they've been to Rock the Desert many times in the last 20 years. It's a group that we know, but it's also a group that we know prides itself on supporting recovering and mental illnesses and substance abuse through their songs. We're really excited about them. They align themselves perfectly with Thriving United's mission to heal and rebuild lives, end quote. Nicole also has some hits on the Christian music charts. Quote, she's going to be the more solemn and classic in her approach, end quote, James said of Nicole. Quote, we also have Brooke Robertson, who's a little more hip and edgy and has some hit songs under her belt. Of course, I mentioned Johnson and the Transform Band, who perform every Sunday at a service called Transform, and they're a part of the Thriving United organization, and it made sense to have them on stage opening for Unspoken, end quote. Johnson talked about how excited he is to be a part of a new Christian music fest in Midland. Quote, the whole idea was to have an event where people can come together, end quote, Johnson said. Quote, with everything that we've been through as a community and the loss of Christian music festivals like Rock the Desert, this will be really important, and we're happy to have as many people come out and listen to some great music, end quote. James said it feels great to have this event from three different perspectives. Quote, the first is that this is a community that loves Christian music, end quote, James said. Quote, we love them. We are a very spiritual and religious region of the state. It's really good from that perspective. But the organization, Thriving United, is an organization designed around recovery space. People who are recovering from addiction or mental health issues or substance abuse issues or alcoholism, all the proceeds from Hope Fest go to help them who are struggling. It's great from that perspective. Finally, Hope Fest is going to be a unique event because it's tied with the Midland County Fair. So not only will people who get to come to Hope Fest get to enjoy these great chart-topping Christian artists, but they will also have access to everything the Midland County Fair has to offer. So that's why we think it's truly a festival. Everything from petting zoo to funnel cakes to a great concert, those are all rolled into one. That's what makes Hope Fest, end quote. By having the event at Midland County Fair, James is hopeful they can bring in a large number of attendees. Quote, there's no doubt, end quote, James said. Quote, the Midland County Fair is the single largest event, attracting over 20,000 people to the fair every single year. For us to be able to partner with the Midland County Fair, that just makes this whole idea of Hope Fest fun and family-friendly. It just puts it in sync. They're thrilled with the partnership, and so are we, end quote. Executive Director of the Midland County Fair, Casey Kelly, is excited to have Hope Fest at this year's fair. Quote, Midland County Fair is Midland's largest event with almost 25,000 people, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, it makes sense for us to partner with smaller events and groups that are working on building their bases. We're always happy to partner with other people and other groups. We're excited about this partnership. We're excited that this partnership has developed, end quote. James said Thriving United is looking at having Hope Fest next year and beyond. Quote, there are two signature events that will generate the most money for the organization to do its work, end quote, James said. Quote, this is one of them that we expect to do every year. Next month is Suicide Prevention Month and Recovery Month. So this event is really the kickoff to the month of September and all the things that go on there, end quote. Marfa to host premiere of MXTX, a cross-border exchange. Marfa. Part of the Marfa Lights Festival will include the premiere of MXTX, a cross-border exchange, presented by Ballroom Marfa. The event is scheduled for 7 p.m. September 4th at the Marfa Visitor Center. MXTX is a live performance, album and open-source audio sample library crossing physical and social boundaries through collaborative exchange. The project involves more than 40 DJ, producers, and composers from both sides of the Rio Grande. A collective of the contributing musicians will travel to Marfa to take the stage for the West Texas premiere of the project as part of the 35th annual Marfa Lights Festival. The Marfa Lights Festival will take place from September 2nd to 4th. Quote, this project has been a long time in the making, end quote, music curator at Marfa Ballroom Sarah Melendez said. Quote, it's a project that was initiated by Golden Hornet and composer Graham Reynolds out of Texas, end quote. Reynolds is a noted and beloved composer out of Austin who has scored a lot of Richard Linklater films. Quote, he's done many incredible projects, end quote, Melendez said. Quote, we've worked with him for several different years on different projects and interesting projects that are West Texas specific, end quote. With this project, Reynolds has gathered 40 DJ composers and producers, 20 of which are from Mexico and 20 from Texas. Quote, it's a very diverse array of musical composers, and what they did is actually create a sound library that is free and accessible to the public, end quote, Reynolds said. Quote, it's all kinds of little sound samples that they contributed, end quote. Other artists included are Coca Trevino, who's an art entrepreneur from Monterrey, Mexico. Quote, it's amazing to see this finished product, end quote, Trevino said. Quote, I've been working with this project since the very beginning, and then the library, you can imagine. It's hundreds of short pieces, and to hear the album and hear it live is just mind-blowing. We're so proud of the people who have participated. There were so many passionate people involved with this project. It's a dream come true to be a part of it, to be a part of it, end quote. Trevino is also the founder of The Projecto. Quote, we do a bunch of curation for music and the arts, end quote, Trevino said of The Projecto. Quote, we also do creative consulting, end quote. Another artist included is Felipe Perez Santiago, a highly acclaimed Mexico City composer, sound artist, and current artist in residence at California's SETI Institute. Raymond Amezcua, quote, Bostich, end quote, of the groundbreaking Nordic Collective based in Tijuana, is also included along with Ruben Albarrán, who is a renowned vocalist and activist from Mexico City, and the lead singer of the legendary Café Tacuba, and Gabriela Ortiz, Latin Grammy-nominated composer and recipient of Mexico's National Prize for Arts and Literature. Quote, what they did is an example of this project. They commissioned 12 really special artists to come and create a song, and from that, they created an album, end quote, Melinda said. Quote, the album came out on Six Degrees Records in April 2022 and it was super anticipated, and it's been doing well. All of this was supposed to happen 2 years ago, but with the pandemic and everything, it's just taken a third of a different life on. It's been difficult with international travel getting ensembles together to be able to premiere this amazing project, end quote. The project premiered back in April at the Fusebox Festival in Austin. Melendez said that a couple of DJs will be in attendance, including Burden and Garcia. Quote, Orion Garcia, who is one of the curators of the project, he's one of the main DJs that's performing live, end quote, Melendez said. Quote, he's doing some live mixing, then Vanessa Burden is opening up for everybody, end quote. Showing a free premiere of the project in Marfa means a lot, Melendez said. Quote, really, the project is rooted in a cross-border collaboration, end quote, Melendez said. Quote, it highlights the permeability of the border culturally and musically. It's showing what it can be like to build bridges through music instead of walls. That was one of the things that came up early on in the project. It was really the whole idea was seeded out of the divisiveness and politicization of how the border was being contextualized and then showing how we can bridge borders culturally through the arts. Basically, to have that premiere in Marfa, close to the border, feels wonderful, end quote. Marfa is a city that's long known to be a small town with a strong arts culture, and this premiere only amplifies that. Quote, it's just something special to see live music in Marfa, end quote, Melendez said. Quote, there's something really beautiful about there being a live concert and people to hear it throughout the entire town. There's something that's really special about that. It's so remote. Musicians have to make a special effort to come out, and organizations have to make a special effort to host people. I think, whereas in cities, it's more accessible and things are happening all the time. Festivals like this have a different feeling. It also helps pull people out of their homes and daily lives. It allows them to participate in something different. I've never been somewhere where you get to see so much world-class music with a small audience, end quote. For more information about the premiere of MXTX, a cross-border exchange, go to tinyurl.com/4RPETYEW. Midland County Fair returns. Midland. Last year's Midland County Fair was held in person for the first time since the pandemic started. While it was a slightly scaled-down version, Executive Director of the Midland County Fair, Casey Kelly, says this year's events will be back to normal. This year's Midland County Fair will take place from August 25th through 28th at the Midland Horseshoe Arena. Quote, last year was tough with just coming out of COVID, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, we weren't able to host in 2020. In 2021, we were just coming out of COVID. We had to make a lot of cuts. Things weren't quite as big as we wanted it to be. But we still had a great time. We still had a great amount of people. It was tough, though, because a lot of people and volunteers weren't able to make it, end quote. This year, Kelly says the fair has been fortunate. Quote, we have some great sponsors, and we've been able to bring in some new and exciting things, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, we have so many cool, fun things to offer. We've been listening to what people want. We heard what they wanted and hope they're happy with what we have, end quote. The carnival portion began on August 25th. The actual fair is scheduled to start at 3 p.m. today. There will be plenty of entertainment lined up throughout the weekend. Hope Fest, a Christian music festival, will begin at 4 p.m. August 27th at the Horseshoe. Tonight, Jason Boland and the Stragglers will perform at 9:30 p.m. Numerous other events will be going on throughout the fair. Quote, we have the strong man, amazing entertainer that does some great shows all weekend, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, we have a lot of local entertainers that come in and do shows throughout. We have two nights of bull riding. We have our cowboy mounted shooters. We have our misfit cowboy and petting zoo, end quote. Of course, there will also be some new events this year as well. Quote, we have remote control racing cars, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, we have the ninja walk where kids and adults can try out an obstacle course. We have Rodeo 101. That's not only educational, but also an interactive exhibit. We're also having our first ever hot dog eating contest on Friday. We're also having a kids party, and we'll be doing an ice cream eating competition as well. We have a lot of local authors on Saturday morning and afternoon and reading to kids. We have a weekend pack of fun, exciting stuff, end quote. Keane's farewell tour brings him to Wagner Noel. The road is ending soon. Legendary Texas songwriter and entertainer, Robert Earl Keane is about to wrap up his 41 years of being on the road with the final leg of his final tour. Keane will make his stop in the Permian Basin with a performance scheduled for 8 p.m. today at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets ranging from $53.99 to $103.99 can be found online at tinyurl.com/2p8uc5kd. Retiring from performing at the top of his game, Keane's World Tour of Texas began August 4th in Corpus Christi and will wrap up September 4th. The famous singer has blazed a trail for other artists in partnership with producer Clara Rose and their Americana podcast. In 2019, Americana podcast launched with the inaugural episode featuring Jamestown Revival and Lucero. Subsequent Americana podcasts include artists Billy Strings, Lori McKenna, Drew Holcomb, I'm With Her, and more. Keane will continue to write music and create, host his popular podcast, support young artists, and follow his artistic muse wherever it takes him. Owen House to bring his tricks to WNPAC. Legendary escape artist and one of the most awarded illusionists in history, Jay Owen House, is going to be back in the Permian Basin this weekend. By popular demand, Owen House will return to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center for a show at 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Audience members will experience a night of grand illusions filled with magic, dangerous escapes, and inspiring storytelling. Owen House spent 2008 touring China and Japan, where his show received accolades. Owen House's new show opens in Las Vegas this October for a new one-year residency. With an interest in magic since he was four, Owen House first performed as a freshman in high school. Since then, in the spirit of, quote, giving it away to keep it, end quote, he's invented magic effects and designed illusions not only for his show, but also for other magicians of world renown. Tickets are ranging from $49 to $59 and can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/2mx73pz9. Senior Center Event, a hit with Odessans. Jerry Tyler, 65, of Odessa, said he usually doesn't come to the Northside Senior Center on Thursdays, but he was among the more than 80 residents who attended the center's annual health fair fundraiser. Tyler, who recently lost his spouse of 40-plus years, said he has been coming to the senior center for 4 months to get out of the house and to keep his sobriety. He said he has been sober for 3 years. Tyler and the other residents who attended Thursday's event were able to get information from the 20 vendors on the many services provided to residents in their senior years. The vendors included Caption Call, a company that has phones that help people with hearing loss, the Ector County Health Department, 211 Texas, several nursing home and hospice facilities, funeral homes, healthcare centers or companies, banks, and at least one retirement home company. Margie Martinez was at the event representing AARP. Martinez, who said she has been at each year's health fair fundraiser event, said she was there to provide information about AARP's program that helps residents 55 and older look for employment. She said the event was important for the senior residents who attended because, quote, the more these services are out, the more they are exposed to, and the more they have knowledge of what's going on in the community, end quote. Donna Greaves, director of the Northside Senior Center, said she was excited with the turnout of the event and said about half of those who attended received one of the 40 door prizes, which were donated by area agencies. Cleopatra Calloway of Odessa commented that the door prizes were items the seniors could use. Calloway added that the event was a great way for the seniors to obtain information about services available to them and said it was important for those who attended to obtain the information before tragedy happens. Obituary. Olin O.C. Curtis Smith Sr. Midland. Olin O.C. Curtis Smith Sr., 81, was born on September 14, 1940 in San Angelo, Texas, to Lawrence Smith and Fannie Mae Smith. He passed on August 20, 2022 in Midland, Texas. He was a brother to the lovingly departed Walter Lawrence Smith, Jesse Smith, James Smith, Madeline Smith Scott, Mary Louise Smith, and Charles Lester Smith. Harold Don Smith of Rowlett, Texas, remains as the only living sibling. Olin later became a father to Olin Curtis Smith Jr., 58, and Shiraz Smith Norell Russell, 53, and grandfather to Marcia Victoria Butler Hemingway, 31, Dorothy Nicole Smith, 28, and Kingsley Bennett Norell, 13. Olin and Dorothy recently celebrated their 60th anniversary on June 10th, 2022. A public visitation for Olin will be held Friday, August 26, 2022, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Memorial services will be held on Saturday, August 27, 2022, at 2:30 p.m. at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Smith family. Death notices. Susan R. Richardson, Midland. Susan R. Richardson, 75, of Midland, died Wednesday, August 24th, 2022, in Midland. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. August 30th, 2022, at First Presbyterian Church, Midland. The family will receive guests from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Sunday, August 28th, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Andres Platas Cardenas, Odessa. Andres Platas Cardenas, 75, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. August 27th, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Chad Weston Coates, Midland. Chad Weston Coates, 50, of Midland, died Thursday, August 18th, 2022, in Midland. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. August 31st, 2022, at Spirit and Truth, 3102 East University, Odessa, Texas. Burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Russell A. Nebhut is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.